Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 4 as we come before the Lord in prayer. Now let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we reflect on the temptations of Jesus and what that means for our lives and our future hope in Christ Jesus, we pray that your Spirit would give us light, give us a clear understanding of what your word means, not just broadly, Lord, but to our own lives personally, to the struggles and temptations that we have been wrestling with. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would speak into each of our situations at this time, that you would convict us, but that you would guide us and show us the grace, Lord, that we have been shown through Christ Jesus, so that we might seek your kingdom, Lord, first. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when somebody's building a building, maybe a house or a shed or a carport or something like that that needs foundations dug, in an older area where there's already lots of older buildings, there is always a bit of a risk that as the holes are being dug, you might stumble across an old sewerage pipe or a water pipe that runs through where you're digging a hole. Often, old pipes are laid in the ground all over the place in older communities, and the people who actually put them there have long since left. And so no one actually knows where they've been placed. But this kind of a danger really is not as big a deal and pales into significance, really, to the dangers that many builders face in the northwest of London. Every day, those who do building work in London, in the northwest of London particularly, they say goodbye to their loved ones each day and they head off to work with no real knowledge of the danger that they might face that day. A danger that lurks below the surface, lying in wait for anyone who doesn't take it seriously. So what is this unseen danger? Well, it's the danger of digging a foundation hole and coming across an unexploded bomb. Back in World War II, more than 200,000 bombs were peppered all across London. And as so many bombs fell during a period called the London Blitz, that now, more than 75 years on, an average of 250 unexploded bombs are found every year on work sites. That's quite a bit more serious than digging into a sewage pipe. It's an unseen danger, It's something that lurks below the surface. And it's something that would be easy to become complacent about, particularly if you hadn't experienced it for a little while. And also as builders and construction workers try to meet their busy work schedules, it would be easy for them to forget about this danger that lurks just out of their sight. As those who trust in the Lord, who have faith in Christ Jesus, we too have a danger that cannot be seen, a danger that lurks below the surface. And it's a danger that we can easily forget about as we get caught up in our busy lives. Ephesians tells us that this danger is not of man-made origin, but one that lurks in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Like those builders and construction workers in London, we too have a danger that lurks below the surface, one that is easily forgotten, easy to become complacent about. The danger that we can easily forget about and get caught up in our days of daily lives. But there is some really big differences. Unlike those unexploded bombs, the danger that we face from this enemy will not stay below the surface. And it will rarely give off some huge explosion. It's far more deceptive than that. Sin, quietly and subtly, chips away at our faith, often without us even realizing it. Are there areas in our lives when we've been starting to compromise on God's standards? Are there temptations that we just can't seem to overcome? Are we engaging in this battle? Or have we started to lose sight of the battle that's being waged all around us? In the Garden of Eden, Adam and his wife gave into temptation while they were living in God's perfect paradise that he had created for them. They had abundant food, they had comfort, they even had company, the company of each other. They had free access to God. They could see him face to face anytime they wanted to. And yet instead of worshipping and serving the one who had given them all these things, they gave all of this up in the hope that they could become equal to God. However, as Philippians 2 says, Jesus, who is God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be greedily held on to, but instead made himself nothing and took on flesh for us. He put heaven aside in order to defeat the power of sin and death that was unleashed on us through Adam and Eve's actions, and then later our own. But first, Jesus had to defeat temptation's grip, the very trap that our first parents fell into in the beginning. And so, full of the Holy Spirit and probably still wet from his baptism, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. It's important that we keep in mind at this point that this wasn't done apart from God's will, that it was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. And he was out there for 40 days, which is really interesting because during the whole passage that we read this morning, we were only told about 3 different temptations. Surely there must have been more than 3 over a 40-day period. But what this seems to be showing us is that these 3 temptations summarize all of the nature of the way Satan makes his attacks. So firstly, in verse 3, Satan tempts Jesus to question whether God the Father will provide for all of his needs. Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now, it's noteworthy that later when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he teaches them to pray these words, "Give us today our daily bread." And in praying these words, "Give us today our daily bread," the disciples and then later those who follow Jesus are being reminded that God is the one who provides, the one who gives us all of our needs. It's very easy for us to be tempted to stop trusting God to provide for all of our needs, isn't it? It's easy for us to want to take matters into our own hands. We might have prayed about something that was worrying us, but it doesn't take too long before Satan starts to tempt us to want to act ourselves rather than wait on the Lord, to try and take matters into our own hands rather than trusting in the Lord's provision. Because often the Lord makes us wait. The Lord doesn't work within our time frame. He makes us wait so that we can learn to trust him beyond what we can see. That can sometimes be really hard and uncomfortable. While the temptation to take matters into our own hands grows stronger and stronger. And that's exactly what Satan is tempting Jesus to do out here in the wilderness. Now, Jesus is out here in the desert, in the wilderness. He's on his own. There's no crowd around him. There's no one watching what he's about to do, whether he stands up against this temptation or whether he gave in. There would have been no one to see it. He was all on his own, apart from Satan. And yet, Jesus refused to question whether God would provide for all of his needs. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, saying, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." And as Deuteronomy finishes the verse that Jesus quoted, it says, "But on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." In standing up to Satan's temptation, Jesus is saying that he trusted God the Father to provide for all of his needs, even when that trust required him to trust in him beyond what he could see. Secondly, in verses 5 to 7, Satan tempts Jesus to question whether God the Father, wants what is best for him. Have a look at verses 5 to 7, where we read, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours.'" In these verses, Satan is trying to tempt Jesus with earthly wealth, comfort and power and authority. Jesus knew God the Father's plan for him. He knew why he had descended to become man. And so it must have been quite a big temptation for him to give up all of the suffering, pain and humiliation, and then later crucifixion, for comfort and pleasure, for the wonders of this life. Jesus certainly was and is fully God, but he was and is fully man. So this temptation was a very real temptation to him. It is something that is common to all of us. We are all constantly being tempted to trade our investment into God's kingdom for the comforts, the pleasures, the power and popularity of this life. Satan is always tempting us with shiny things that we don't really need, trying to convince us that we have to have them. Satan is always trying to convince us that we need to work harder, that we need to make our jobs our priority, that we need to make our projects our priority, that we need to make whatever it is a priority over the kingdom of God. Satan is always trying to convince us that this world is all there is and all that will satisfy us. But as Satan tried to tempt Jesus out in the wilderness, he quoted from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, saying, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Despite feeling the weight of this temptation, which Jesus surely did, he knew that God the Father wanted what was best for him. Even when his hope in God's kingdom required him to have faith, to endure through suffering, and to wait for God's plan to unfold. So that brings us to verses 9 to 11, where Satan tempts Jesus to test whether God would let him fall. Verses 9 to 11. The devil led him, Jesus, to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now, what's quite interesting here is the first two temptations that Satan has made have been of his own design. They were his own words. But here, Satan starts to ratchet it up a bit. As Jesus has quoted from Deuteronomy twice, Satan is going, well, two can play at that game. And he starts to quote from Scripture himself, quoting from Psalm 91. Notice the words, "for it is written." He's quoting directly from Psalm 91. In essence, what Satan is saying is, did God really say that he will protect you if you fall? And notice he's actually questioning whether Jesus is the Christ, something that he certainly knows. He says, "if you are the Son of God." Satan is trying to provoke Jesus into proving who he is by testing God the Father's faithfulness. Whether we realize it or not, in a similar way, we're often tempted to test God's faithfulness ourselves. When the circumstances of our lives aren't going the way that we'd like them to go, there is always a temptation to question God's faithfulness, to ask him how he could possibly allow these hard times to happen to us, to demand that he act the way that we think he should act. We are often tempted to demand that God spare us the hard times, the times that he uses to refine our faith, that he uses to grow our trust in him. We are often tempted to ask ourselves, did God really say that he will work in all things for the good of those who love him? However, when Jesus stood there and faced this attack from Satan, he quoted from Deuteronomy 6:16, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test," it says. And after Jesus had said these words, Satan clearly realized that he was fighting a losing battle. And so it says he withdrew till an opportune time, a time that would never come because Jesus, our great high priest, the second and far greater Adam, defeated Satan in the wilderness with the power of God's word. And then later, he defeated him through his physical death and resurrection. In paradise, in perfect paradise, Adam and Eve made the mistake of believing that they knew better than God's word. As Satan questioned them, as he put that doubt in their mind, did God really say? They were deceived by his subtle lies. Satan is the ultimate prosperity gospel preacher. He tells us what he wants, what he knows that we want to hear. He leads us in the directions that our sinful desires already want to take us. And he does this through half-truths and through planting seeds of doubts in our minds. James 1 tells us that each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. When Satan tells us that as followers of Christ we should prosper in everything we do, when Satan tells us that hard times, the loss of loved ones, the loss of jobs, the loss of income, sickness, are all because of our lack of faith, it's our own sinful desires that make us want to believe these lies. We fall for the lie that we deserve better, that as those who follow Jesus, everything should just float along nicely. When Satan asks, did God really say, and we listen to it, it's because we didn't really want to do what God's word was telling us to do anyway. That road would have been too hard, would have cost us too much. But the good news for those with faith in Christ Jesus is that we are no longer slaves to sin, because our Lord Jesus has defeated the power of temptation, sin, and death for us. We have Christ's Spirit working in our hearts. And as Titus 2 tells us, before the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age, as we await for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of the great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. But while we are still on this earth, we still battle with our old nature. However, even though we are still at times led astray by our own evil desires, even though we will sometimes lose sight of the spiritual battle that is being waged all around us, the Holy Spirit is working in us. And as we read God's word, as we pray to him, as we spend time with his people, as iron sharpens iron, we are slowly being transformed into the image of Christ and being taught to say no to sin. Now, of course, none of us have arrived, no matter how old we are. And sometimes there can be one of Satan's lies to tell us that we have arrived, that we are no longer being tempted like this. But all of us will fall for Satan's lies at some times. All of us will compromise on God's standards for our lives. We are in a spiritual battle that is going on all around us as Satan seeks to kill and destroy those who follow Christ Jesus. The battle rages on, and we must, for the sake of our own faith, engage in this battle. But we know that despite Satan's attempts to rage against the King, King Jesus, the war has been won. Christ has the victory. He has defeated the power of death. And through Christ, we have been freed from Satan's power over us. We are all going to be tempted by Satan to make compromises on God's standards. And he will strike us in the parts of our hearts that are weakest, in those things that we struggle with the most. And that'll be different for each of us. We are all going to fall for these temptations sometimes, even though we really should know better. But rather than losing heart when we struggle to live the way God would have us live, rather than lose heart when we struggle to be the people of God we so want to be, remember that even though we are weak, He is strong. Christ Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord, defeated Satan's temptation when he was hungry, out in the wilderness, having not eaten for 40 days. When no one was looking, he was all alone, nobody to see if he had done the wrong thing. When there was no one to hold him accountable, Jesus stood strong for us. And now his Spirit works in us so that we can say no to sin, so that we can become more like him, so that we can serve our great God and King, who lived the life we could never live, who died the death that we deserve to die, and who was raised 3 days later, giving us the hope of life forever in him. Let's come before him now in prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that each of us will have different temptations, different ways that we struggle with sin. But what we do know is that no one is apart from this struggle in this life. Lord, we want to be the people of God that you have created us to be. We want to do the works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. We want our lives to be an example of salt and light, to reflect Jesus, to be so attractive to this dying world that people notice and come to you. And yet we are weak and we are frail. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would work in each of us, that you would help us to say no to sin, that you would help us to become more like Christ, that through the power of your Spirit, your light would shine in each of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.